So we speak of this practice of mental cultivation, of bhavana, a meditation practice, and this kamatana, these kamatanas, which are ways to bring the mind to peace and samadhi, to collectedness. We may be wondering, well, the samatha kamatana, vipassana kamatana, what are they? What are they like? And so the samatha kamatana is a way to make the mind peaceful, collected, gathered in samadhi. And this quality of samadhi, it covers, suppresses the defilements. One doesn't yet know the truth. One doesn't yet know that material form is impermanent, stressful, and not self. So it doesn't destroy the defilements. The defilements are still there. We can say it's like putting a rock on top of grass. When we remove the rock, then the grass can grow up again. So the samadhi in the mind is the same way. And so the samadhi, we train the mind to be with just one object, like being with the in and out breathing, or with Bhutto, to make the mind deep in this quality of stillness and peace, to bring the mind not to have thinking or proliferation. It's something not easy to do. So we can give it a try, try it for ourselves. We practice and train the mind to cover over, suppress these defilements, to suppress these five hindrances, to control or suppress the greed, aversion, and delusion. We have these qualities of sense desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness, agitation, doubt. These five hindrances or five obstacles that stop the mind from becoming peaceful. So sometimes one sits and one thinks a lot. Even while chanting, the mind can be proliferating and thinking about various things. Sometimes it's like that. And it's like that when we practice. And if one doesn't practice, then the mind is like that even more. And it's like that all the time. So therefore we train the mind with the meditation object, with a kamatana, like a samatha kamatana, a vipassana. This word vipassana, vi meaning clear, is clear knowing, seeing the truth. So seeing with wisdom. We have the wisdom that arises from listening, from hearing the Dhamma. Then we think and contemplate on that further to give rise to understanding. To understand that materiality, this physical body, it's not permanent, it doesn't last, it can't endure. It's not me, not mine, not a self. So we listen to this. In the beginning, the mind doesn't accept it. The mind puts up a fight. But then later, the mind can accept this to one degree, that it really is not self. But then we get all these different sense impressions come into the mind, like sights, sounds, tastes, smells, touches, odors, mental objects. Then these defilements arise again. Greed, aversion, delusion arise again. We don't want them to arise, but they arise all the same. That's dukkha. And this dukkha, this suffering, arises because of a cause. The suffering arises based on a cause. And when that cause ceases, then the suffering ceases. Because in truth, this quality of dukkha or suffering, it's not self, not a me or a mine. It's just nature. But then when there's a cause, then suffering arises. When there's no cause, then it ceases. But the mind doesn't know this, doesn't understand it. The mind clings to it as self, clings to this dukkha, the suffering. And the mind suffers even more. Because this dukkha in truth, it's not anything. It's just nature, it's Dhamma. And the mind clings to it, clings to pleasure and pain, suffering and happiness, clings more, and suffering arises. Wisdom doesn't arise. So this wisdom arises from listening. This is wisdom to one level. So we think, we contemplate. So some Dhamma practitioners, they might give blood or donate blood. They see that blood that's been given away, donated, and seeing it as not self. And that person is able to think that. But then the blood that's still in the body, to see that as not self, the mind isn't able to think that. The mind just lacks sufficient energy and strength. The mind sees it as self. So this is wisdom arising from thinking. Then there's the wisdom that arises from practice, from bhavana. This is a clear knowing. The mind is still, and knowing arises. This knowing and understanding arise. So firstly, one relies on listening to the Dhamma. One relies on faith, this faith in the Buddha. We see that one with faith comes to listen to the Dhamma. But one who doesn't have faith, they're not interested. They go listen to entertainment or watch shows and movies and engage with entertainment and do fun things and so on. They don't want to listen to Dhamma. The practitioners, when they understand to one level, they see that this world lacks any lasting essence, There's nothing there that lasts, nothing there that endures. There's nothing that's certain, that life is uncertain. There's nothing there that's self. So the mind that doesn't train, doesn't meditate, has no refuge. Because we see that whatever we seek out in the world, whatever we gain, try to get, we all have to die in the end all the same. And this ends up wasting a lot of time. So whatever we cling to, whatever we attach to, then the mind gets born there, gets born again. So we contemplate to understand this and to be able to see the Dhamma. So we listen to the Dhamma, and this can help us to see the Dhamma. So we come to practice, we set our hearts on listening to the Dhamma, taking the 5 precepts or the 8 precepts. We have this firm intent to listen to the Dhamma. And this is something that's very important, this quality of firm intent to listen to the Dhamma. Because this is a cause for insight, for knowledge to arise. And we don't know when that will happen. We don't know when insight and knowledge will arise. And it can arise when we're listening to Dhamma. We can see clearly that it's not me, not mine, not self. There's no material form. There's no immateriality. There's no one who's listening. There's no one who's speaking. There's no things, there's no objects. It's all just natural elements. It's all empty. And all these names that we have for things, they're all merely conventions, just samuti. In this way, the mind gathers together. The mind sees clearly. The mind reaches another plane, another level. Because usually one would think that, well, there's a house, there's a car, there's male, there's female, there's animals, there's humans, there's people, there's me and mine, there's you and yours, there's the ocean, there's rivers, there's mountains, there's forests, there's the meditation hall, there's the dwellings, there's colors, there's names for all these things. So this is knowledge about conventions, about conventionality. that we've known for a long time, since we've been taught it since a young age. And when we're taught these conventions, we believe that they really are true, that they really are these things, and they really are these names. So we think it's true like that. But then we come to practice, we listen to the Dhamma, the mind gathers together, and knowledge on another level arises. We see it's not self. There's no one there. There's no me or mine, you or yours. It's just natural elements. There's no colors. It's all just convention. So we see this. So when we see like this, this changes our thoughts, changes our views. That which we've understood to be true for a long time, it's able to change. We see that it's not self. In this way, our faith becomes more firmly established. And this is because the mind is destroying the defilements to one level. So the mind gives rise to knowing, the defilements are abandoned to one degree. The mind is bright. So whatever we see it as Dhamma. We see that the lives of people run quickly towards death, that all the people in the world are living in a house that's on fire, that everyone must die. So we don't need to have war. We don't need to have people killing and harming each other. Everyone has to die already, all the same. It's already like that. And that death is close already as well. But when we see like this, then we seek out the Dhamma even more to become firmly established in the Dhamma. We practice to bring about this wisdom, this bhavanamaya panya, this wisdom that arises through practice, through meditation, a clear understanding, to the point where we don't have doubt. In this way, the mind has strength and energy. Faith is firmly established. And one has the faith to strive. One has belief. One may have but a little wisdom, but one has effort, one strives. And if one's seen already, and one has this wisdom, this effort, this firm samadhi. The body and mind feel light and at ease, having this fullness and happiness, contentedness. One has mindfulness. So one understands that one who practices, one practices to reach this point, whether one sees a lot or a little. It differs according to each individual. It's up to one's strength and energy. So we have to strive and practice to see the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death in order to enter into the path of practice. So we have the five precepts as our baseline foundation. If one has the strength, one practices the 8, 10 precepts, becomes a pakao, anagarika. If one's a lay person, one can observe the 8 precepts. This is called the pakao or anagarika in the heart. One may not be wearing white, but in the mind one is wearing white. So we see we have 2 individuals, one from Germany, one from Argentina, coming to take the 8 precepts today to train the mind in a way that's very sincere. Because one wants to know, what is samadhi really like? One feels this need to reach samadhi, this peace of mind. So that being the case, one needs to cultivate a lot of mindfulness. This mindfulness, this quality of recollection. So we see that the mind thinks a lot. So we need to change these habits of mind to recollect Buddha, Dhammo, Sangho, recollect the chanting, to use all these various methods that we have in order to bring the mind together, together. So we sit meditation, and if we just recite Buddho Dhammo Sangho, the mind may be unwilling to be with that. Or just being with the breath, the mind just won't accept that. Because the mind has all these thoughts and proliferations and doubts. The mind may doubt, well, if I just recite Buddho, is that really going to work? Will that really bring me to peace? So these kinds of thoughts, these are mara. These are sankhara mara, the mara of conditioned formations that make us stop doing the practice or stop making effort. But we have to keep striving. We recollect the teachings of the great masters, like Lumpu Lien reciting Bhutto Bhagawa to the point where it was just Bhutto left. The mind gathers together, the mind's bright, the mind's able to gather in samadhi. Or alternatively, one can think that death is for sure, life is unsure. All life must end in death. In recollecting death in this way, the mind and body can become light and at ease and peaceful. Or we recollect these five body parts, the care of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin, gesa, loma, naka, danta, tacho. We recollect these five parts. In this way, the mind can gather together to the point where it's just gesa, gesa, or hair of the head, hair of the head. The mind becomes still and peaceful, or we can be with the in and out breathing, boot on the in-breath and do on the out-breath to make the mind still, to make the body and mind light and at ease. Rapture arises. Sukha, this quality of happiness or bliss arises. The hands and feet can disappear. The mind gathers together. And then this knowledge can arise that it's not self. That this body, it's not anyone. That if we take it as self, if we think it's self, this is delusion, this is being lost. So we often think it's a me or mine, you or yours. But then we see clearly there's no one who's coming, no one who's going, no one who comes or goes. There's no one who's listening. There's no one who's speaking. There's no one who's criticizing. There's no one who's being criticized. So we need to reach this point, to reach emptiness. In this way, we finally reach an end. So we have these things, take them as me and mine, you and yours. This is the mind that's lost, that's confused. Because whenever we have a sense of you, whenever we think that there's a you, and there's a me as well, as a witness to that you. So whenever you arises, then me arises too. Or being arises, sense of self arises, pleasure and pain, happiness and suffering. So this is wisdom not arising. This is a lack of wisdom. So we train the mind, we practice to make the mind peaceful. We sit in meditation before we begin our session. We spread loving kindness and practice metta, bhavana. May there be no ill will between any beings. May all beings be well and happy. And so we're choosing this path of peace, this path of samadhi, and we do it fully with our meditation object. This is kamatana. We can say it's the prakamatana, or meditation monk. So a prakamatana, or meditation monk, has to bring their kamatana with them wherever they go. To speak little, sleep little, eat little, to awaken with effort. Wherever we travel, we don't speak a lot, but we have restraint. Whether we're sitting in a car, a train, a boat, or a plane, then we chant, we train the mind to become still and peaceful. We can be a lay person, kamatana, a lay person who brings their kamatana with them, or a pakao kamatana, anagarika, who has their kamatana with them. Because we see that it's not easy to come ordain. One has to cross over the ocean, have a great amount of faith to come do that. So one who comes to ordain is already thought all around the world already. And they've come and discarded everything in their life to come ordain. They've discarded everything. They come with this intention to strive, to make effort. And so they must be able to do it. And so we come to practice. It's something we must be able to do. During the ordination ceremony, we say that we take these robes for the sake of Nibbana. And we want to know what's that like. So we practice with our samatha kamatana, vipassana kamatana. So we want to know what is that like? What is samatha like? What is vipassana like? So knowing impermanence, stress, not self, that's vipassana. So we train, we practice. So firstly, we practice the korvat, the monastic rules and observances. We go to the morning chanting, the evening chanting. Even if we don't want to go, we go. So we make that our standard, our foundation, to be able to go to the morning chanting, to go on alms round every day, to do the chore period, the various activities that are contained within the korvat, to help with the work of the sangha. So we practice in order to pass this, to be able to do it. To chant, the Padimokkha. If we're Thai and don't speak English, then we train to be able to speak English. If we don't know Thai, then we train in the Thai language. Because learning these languages has value and benefit for us. So we set our hearts to practice and train like this. So after 4 or 5 years, you should be able to speak this other language. And it brings value to the group as well, to the community that one lives in. One can become a refuge for that community. One can also memorize the korvat, memorize some of the books, some of the knowledge contained within the books. So after about 4 or 5 rains retreats, one can achieve that. Then one goes to meditate in mountains and cremation grounds and caves, secluded forests, and trains the mind in samadhi, and goes and has these dutanga or tudong experiences. So one practices these asceticisms, these dutanga practices. On the lunar observance days, one stays up without lying down all night. And lay people can do that as well. There was one lay person who didn't lay down all night, and they did that alone. So the monks can be the leaders in this, to set their hearts well, to strive. So to practice like this. So there is one person who didn't lie down for 6 years. They were able to do that. Or not lying down for 3 months. One can do that. Or different individuals have done that. So one practices, one trains to give rise to wisdom, for faith and wisdom to arise. So one strives, one makes effort. So therefore we see that for one to come ordain, it's not easy for this to happen. So we're very happy to see these two new pakaos come here today, because we see that these two pakaos coming to ordain, or people coming to ordain, it extends the lifespan of the Buddha Sasana, extends the lifespan of the dispensation. So it's not easy to cross over the ocean to come ordained like this. Just like in the time of Venerable Ajahn Chah, people came from afar to ordain. And Venerable Ajahn Chah spreads his loving kindness to Wat Mapchan. We see that many foreigners come to ordain here. And why do they do that? Because they're seeking out the Dhamma. And it's an appropriate, it's a suitable place for that. There's a suitable teacher, it's suitable for the practice. So it's suitable food, suitable weather, suitable facilities. And that which is important is the Dhamma. We practice, we might have doubts about the practice arise, then we can go ask the great teacher, the great master, and they can give us advice and teachings. And sometimes we don't have the language understanding to understand, but we have our fellow community members that can help us to understand, or have various friends in the holy life that can give suggestions as well. And some Pakhaos may be able to speak Thai already, which makes it even easier. They can listen to Thai and English and understand both. And so we come to the point where we don't think that it'll happen, but it does happen. Rapture arises, sukha, happiness arises. And this can last for a whole month or a whole year. This is quite miraculous, where the mind feels just incredibly cool and at ease. Cool like we're in an air-conditioned room. We feel very relaxed and at ease. Whatever sense impressions come through the six senses, we feel cool. And it also happens that sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, mind objects arise, and greed, aversion, and delusion arise. And mindfulness doesn't come in time. The mindfulness isn't fast enough. Wisdom doesn't arise. The samadhi is not well established. Because we see that when samadhi is firm, that it really helps a lot. So don't be afraid of samadhi. Don't be afraid that you'll be stuck in samadhi. But train in samadhi, realize samadhi. This leads to wisdom. It's not a deep samadhi where one just doesn't know anything at all. But we train in right samadhi, sama samadhi, to make samadhi firm and well established, to give rise to wisdom, so that we're able to contemplate and see the Dhamma. So we practice and train. And so when we practice and train, some practitioners have visions arise, like asubha nimittas, visions of the not beautiful nature of the body. And this can give rise to understanding. Some practitioners might see blood, a vision of blood flowing down, and it might be so clear that that practitioner even wants to vomit because the vision is so clear. So at this point, one makes it a bit lighter. So one sees the blood, sees it as not beautiful, as unclean. And then one can contemplate that this body is not beautiful. When one sees that, then the mind becomes bright and radiant. One understands the truth, and in this way the mind becomes beautiful. Seeing the body is not beautiful, then the mind is beautiful and bright. This is seeing the truth. And this seeing of beauty in the body, it's something we've been lost in and deluded by for a very long time already. We see the hair of the head, hair of the body, skin, teeth and nails. We see it as beautiful. We don't see the not beautiful things. We don't see what's inside the skin, these different internal organs that are not attractive, not beautiful. We see that they really just arise all from the four natural elements. When there's no fire element, or the air element becomes less, the fire element dissipates. Then all these parts of the body, they all return to whence they came, return to the natural elements. They go back to earth, air, fire, and water. All the various bacteria digest the body, decompose it. When the body dies, we usually cremate it, we burn it, because there's so many bacteria in the body. We can't just throw the body away normally. We have to burn it because there's so much bacteria. We see the body's all done. It's come to an end, or it's all done. So we see that it's not beautiful, that it's just natural elements in truth. And previously, this is something we have not seen. We see it as self, see it as me and mine. So when we see it as these natural elements, then we can feel light and at ease. We feel very light and peaceful and relaxed. Rapture and happiness can arise. And it's a rapture and happiness. It's a type of happiness that we haven't experienced before. So the mind becomes peaceful in samadhi, the mind feels full. And before, the mind would have felt thin and fragile. Whatever six sense objects come into contact with the mind feels quite thin. So we make the mind peaceful and firmly established in samadhi. And it's not just when we're sitting, but sitting, standing, walking, lying down, we have samadhi through all these postures. We feel light and at ease. Because we see that when the defilements arise, they arise at the six senses, at the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touches, mind objects. So we need to train to have mindfulness, to have samadhi. When we have samadhi and rapture, then this can control and suppress these defilements. We cultivate vipassana, clear seeing. We see that we cling to it as self. But when we see clearly, we see that there's really no self there to be found. There's no self in truth. It's all empty. When we see like this, the mind goes to another world, another level of experience. And when this happens, we're able to make a comparison that, oh, clinging is like this, not clinging is like this. We're able to make a clear comparison because we've had this experience. Before that, we can have a lot of doubts. But then with this experience, then all the doubts are gone. We understand clearly. Before, we have done listening to Dhamma, reading Dhamma. We might feel that Nibbana is close when we do that. But many days go by and the kilesas, the defilements, come to cover over the mind again. We don't see clearly anymore. We feel that Nibbana is far away. But then when we see clearly, then this gives rise to great confidence. The mind has strength and energy. We come to sit meditation. The mind becomes still and peaceful. Contemplate and bring the mind to emptiness. We don't have doubts anymore. So all the teachings of the great masters, they all bring us to this point. All the Dhamma that we might have read or listened to, it's just to bring us to know this nature, to know not self, to know this clearly. And this brings us to reduce our number of remaining lifetimes, to make it less and less and less. So we bring the mind to samadhi, to this peace and collectedness. And we have thoughts and proliferations. But when the samadhi is well established, then we don't have these thoughts. So we make the mind very still and peaceful. And it can come to the point where even if we want to think, then the mind doesn't think. The mind is gathered at one point. The mind is still. The mind is gathered at one point, and we might reach this point, and it's something that's not familiar to us. The mind just won't think at all. There's no thoughts at all. So it can really happen in truth. And sometimes we don't understand. We think, oh, there's initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, rapture, one-pointedness, bliss, these five jhana factors. And if we reach the first jhana, we might have thought that we might never have thought that we would reach it. But just keep practicing, just keep doing the practice. And for the laity, keep practicing, making merit and goodness, practicing generosity, virtue, and meditation, cultivating mindfulness. Whatever activity we're doing, we do it with mindfulness. Cultivate mindfulness while cooking, while doing chores. Do a lot of chanting, a lot of meditation. Wherever you walk, walking from here to there, have mindfulness. You can have a set of mala beads with you. Use those mala beads to chant, like chanting "It to be so" 108 times, to bring the mind to peace and stillness, give rise to rapture. We sit meditation, we feel rapture, we're able to bring the mind to peace. So we don't give up, we don't stop practicing, but it's something that we must be able to achieve, we must be able to do. So may you all train and practice like this. May you all set your hearts on this.